It's a tune here called Growing Pains.
I invited you to a movie. Bob Dylan wrote the score. Snow fell quickly and roads got slippery, and I never reached your door. Take me back again, my friend, to days before these growing pains. Well, you sat down at my lunch table, much to my surprise. Seats taken, you left teary-eyed. Take me back again, my friend, to days before these growing pains. Oh, 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 oh. Night roads in search of alcoves where we could embrace. Well, I was on fire and you perspired, but me, I was not as cool. Oh, take me back again, my friend, the days before these growing pains. Take me back again, my friend.
Growing Pains, Pete Pigeon. Pete, thank you for coming on Dave and Giggles.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're in Edgewater. And we're doing a remote show, Edgewater, Colorado, or Edgewater, right. Denver?
Edgewater, Colorado.
Edgewater, yeah. Colorado. And we're doing a remote show. We got Pete and myself in Colorado, and we got Dave in New York. Dave, you there?
I am here. I am here. We're doing an interesting show where I can't see you, where I'm used to being able to see you. So to you guys, I'm kind of like this ghost-like, you know, audio imagery where you don't know what I look like or anything, so I guess I could be that kind of ghost in the corner.
Yeah. You're going to do a lot of listening. We're going to listen to each other. We're going to really just take it down and listen to each other, play some music, talk about Pete Pigeon and what he's up to. This guy's got shows last weekend and this weekend I want to talk about. Yep. And then what else are we going to do? Well, maybe we'll talk.
Also mentioned that we haven't done a show in like a year.
It's been months. It's been a while. So, but we're getting back into it.
Glad to get you guys back on your game, yeah.
Well, in the true essence of Dave and Giggles, Pete Pigeon was actually a friend of John Shannon, who was a guest on our show a few years back, and I actually met Pete at a John Shannon concert. Well, not a John Shannon concert, the Shift concert out in Denver, and Pete was just hanging out, and we met, and I told him about the radio show. We did a mini interview in the van, which I'm going to edit and put together. Nice. And then I told Pete, I was like, listen,
I've been waiting for that.
Yeah. You're going to get it. But I told Pete, I was like, we do this radio show.
John, one of the best dudes ever.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's a good friend of mine. We've known each other for, probably close to 15 years.
Wow.
Nice.
We both lived in Boston and, he had a band called Waking Vision Trio, and they were literally one of my favorite bands in Boston. No question about it. And we used to play a similar venue, which was the Lizard Lounge, excuse me, in Cambridge. And I was just a big fan of theirs, and we were both on the same scene. We both ended up in Brooklyn not long after that. And then I moved to Denver, and then he toured through here very recently. But yeah, he's a solid cat.
Sweet. So let's talk about this moving from New York, well, from Boston to New York to Denver. How is that as a musician and as an artist, like finding, like everybody and their brother is moving to Denver right now?
Yeah,
it's,
I noticed.
It's real hot. It's real hot. So tell us, like, how you found yourself with your music out here as opposed to back in Brooklyn. Because I guess it wasn't really vibing with you if you wanted to move out to here.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I lived in upstate New York for 3 years.
That's why you got the 845.
What part?
That's right, the 845 represent. I was in New Paltz.
What part, Pete?
New Paltz.
Oh, you were in New Paltz. I played New Paltz a lot. I played at Oasis and stuff.
Yeah, you got it, man. Cabalusa, yep. Bacchus.
Yep, all those great places. I am a Carmel kid, so I'm not that far across the river.
Sure, yeah, right on, man. And I'm recording my new record up in Saugerties at Applehead Studios, nice. Right on the border of Woodstock there.
Well, when you come down here, give me a shout. We'll do a remote from this side of the room and see if we can get it working a little better than
Gabe. Dude, that would be awesome, actually. You could come over to the studio and do a little live thing from the mixing sessions.
I like it. Maybe we could fly Giggles in.
I like it. Well, give me an excuse.
You guys got the budget for that, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. We got.
Unlimited budget.
that's why we couldn't fly you out here, right?
We're trying. We're trying to get him.
Anyway, so yeah, I was in New Paltz, and that's where my band Arcota started, playing the venues you just mentioned. And then I moved to Boston to try and take it up a notch. And Arcota is basically the name of whoever's playing with me at the time.
Gotcha. So it's not all, you know.
Right.
Got it. It's the same guys. It's like whoever's with you.
I'm lucky if the same guys are on the same gig twice in a row.
Yeah.
Which is not what I'm looking for. I'd like to have a consistent band, but that's just the way it is. And so I moved to Boston, did a bunch of gigs up there, and it was really hot. From, like, the Boston music scene was crushing between, say, 95, 96 up until 2002. That's when the bands like The Slip and Miracle Orchestra, Addison Group Project, Percy Hill, all these bands were really hitting it. Uncle Sammy, Bo Sasser from Uncle Sammy is one of the top call guys on Oregon right now.
Dave, do you know any of these bands? Because he's looking at me like I know these guys.
You don't know anything.
Well, most of them have broken up by now.
So what happened? What happened at 2002 that was like the global crash of Boston music scene?
It's a great question, man. I think it was coincidence that a lot of the bands started breaking up and moving out of town. But what happened was a shift in the venues. That's when Live Nation came in and started buying stuff up. And it used to be real easy. You could just go in, talk to the agent, you know, at the venue, let's book a show next Thursday. And then with the new sort of corporate model that they had going on there, it was much more difficult to do that. So it was harder to get gigs. It was harder to get paid for good gigs. And at the time, Austin was just picking up. Brooklyn was just, you know, starting to pick up. Brooklyn's always been hot, but I mean, there wasn't the crush that it has now. So a lot of people moved out of town. They moved to Brooklyn, or they moved to Austin, or they moved to L.A. I'm sure some moved to Nashville, too, but not many I know of. And so the scene started to break apart a little bit, and then Live Nation came in and bought everything. They tore down Avalon. They tore down Axis. Bill's Bar closed, and they just built these new venues, and they owned everything. They took over Harper's Ferry, which is now Brighton Music Hall. And the amount of money you could make as a performer significantly diminished. So a few years later, in 07, I moved out of town, eventually moved to Brooklyn. Brooklyn, when I happened to move there, it was the same thing happened in Boston. When I moved to Boston, I had like 2 years and then it died. I moved to Brooklyn and within like a year, it was totally done. All the venues were moving out of Manhattan into Brooklyn because they couldn't afford Manhattan anymore. And most of the Brooklyn kids were starting to move east, out into Bushwick and Bed-Stuy. And as I read this morning, actually, Williamsburg, which used to be like the hipster epicenter of the planet, all of those kids have now moved out. They're all moving far east, even, you know, Bed-Stuy and east, which used to be where Biggie Smalls was. It was like the hood of hoods, you know, like you didn't go there, you know. And so that whole dynamic has changed in Brooklyn now, too. So I was there for 3.5 years, almost 4 years, before I just got priced out, and there was no way to make any money playing gigs. And so I moved back to Boston for a year to make some money and save up to move to Denver, because I've always kind of wanted to move out here.
Yeah.
I've always loved it out here. And then, lo and behold, I move out here, and 6 months later, Denver is, like, completely blowing up. So, sorry if I'm taking that with me everywhere I go, you know? I need to move, like, Omaha or something. And Omaha's the big thing now!
Right, well, they're saying Buffalo. A lot of hipsters are moving to Buffalo because they can afford to buy a house.
Buffalo.
And then Detroit. So
poor Buffalo.
David, we missed you there. What were you saying?
You still there, Dave?
Dave?
Oh, no.
No, no.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hey, well, there you are. There you
all
are.
Right.
You guys are terrible.
We can we can edit that out. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, edit it out.
So Buffalo.
They are moving to Buffalo, but I wouldn't want to deal with that winter. That's a tough winter.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's terrible. Well, so Dave is actually, and I used to live in it. We call it the Broken Boys Home because it started out with our buddy Andy living there. And then everybody who kind of moved in there just basically like started breaking up with their girlfriends, except Dave. Dave is like the holdout. It's this apartment in Ridgewood.
The holdout.
It's a 3-bedroom,
sure.
And it's super cheap. He probably pays like $1,500
okay.
right now, which is ridiculous. But now, when I lived in Ridgewood, three-bedroom, which is
this is
stupid.
Jersey?
Ridgewood, Queens.
Oh, Queens,
next,
right.
It's right next to Bushwick.
Right, right, right.
But now, I lived there like 4 or 5 years ago. Now, it's super hip.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
bars, there's
Long
coffee
Island
shops,
City,
there's and all this stuff. So I was like,
Norma's,
well, yeah,
Norma's.
Yeah, a lot of hipsters.
Norma.
Yeah.
What's the other town that's just north of Long Island City? Starts with an A.
Astoria.
Astoria.
Yeah. Astoria.
All that stuff's blowing up.
Well, that's where
or
I lived.
It was
for,
when I
yeah.
left.
Oh yeah.
That was almost three years ago.
You can't find a 2-bedroom apartment for probably like under $2,300 now.
Right.
It's
back
stupid.
There, you could get like a $500 1-bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years ago.
Oh yeah. So you made the move out to Denver.
Right.
Arcoda is still out here.
Yep.
It's, so you're gigging with musicians.
Yeah.
And then you said earlier that you're teaching guitar.
That's
as
right.
sort of your day job.
Yeah. Yeah. I teach 2 days a week. This place called Golden Music Center on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Okay.
And then pretty much gig Wednesday through Saturday. Some Sunday gigs here and there, but pretty much full time with the performance, which is something I didn't have out in Brooklyn.
Nice.
I was doing more session work,
great.
More studio work out in Brooklyn, which was really cool. It was a different dynamic, you know, producing a record.
Yeah.
But out here is a more live-based, excuse me, sort of situation.
You got to play. You got to
yeah.
get it out there. People got to know who you are because there's so many people
right.
that are. I do want to hear a song from you, and then I want to talk about your tour dates.
Okay.
And tour dates, I mean your local dates here.
Right.
And then I want to talk about Now Power Productions.
Sure.
That's your. We got a little production company. So.
Yep.
Give us a little bit of a background on a song that you're going to play now. I do
cool.
like, I was listening to your album. I do like the, was it My Girl? Was
oh, that, You're My Girl.
You're
yeah.
My Girl. I did like
yeah,
that
do
one.
That. Sure.
We could do that one or we could do anything, you know. It's really
yeah.
up to you. Like, I don't want to
take requests.
All right. and by listen to your album, I mean like just a couple hours ago.
Fresh fans. Yeah, this is a tune that's on my record, Doubt Is For Losers.
So this is the second to... So you've got... How many records you have out now, right?
There are 3 full lengths and 2 EPs.
Okay.
At First Sight, which has Levon Helm from the band on it. Doubt Is For Losers was next. That's got Nate Edgar from Nth Power and Eric Kalb from John Schofield Band on it. Sam Kinninger's on it too. He started Lettuce back in the day.
Gotcha. A little
just,
name dropping here. That's all right.
Sold out. That's what we're supposed to do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, Lettuce just sold out Red Rocks a few days ago, which was amazing. Congratulations to them.
Gotcha.
That was pretty great.
And then In the Name of Megan Smith, which was basically a solo record. It's just under my name. I played almost all the instruments. There are a couple cuts with drum set on it that I didn't play, but everything else. And then the 2 EPs, Happy Song, I think it's just called Happy Song. Isn't really commercially available anymore, but it exists.
Okay.
It's a 3 song. Has a remix of Say Baby, which was the single from At First Sight. Happy Song, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And The Myth. And then the most recent record I put out is an EP called Growing Pains.
Oh, right on.
And that has the song I just played, the title track.
Yeah.
Will, which showed up on the Grammy Award ballot in 2011.
Okay. You're throwing this name, this Grammy, and what? And I'm looking at your. I don't know if you put this out here, but there's a
it's just out there anyway.
An invitation. I walk into this guy's house, and there's the Recording Academy cordially invites you to the 57th annual Grammy Awards. Is this a real invitation here?
Yeah. Right. Well, after I got.
This is 2015. This is recent.
Why don't we play a song? Then we'll come back to talking about the Grammy nominee.
Right.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, because no one wants to hear about the Grammys, man.
No, I do want to hear about the Grammys, but we play a song. Come back, talk about the Grammys.
Sure. Let's rock out, man. So this is a song called "You're My Girl." See me using it, you know why? I'll tell you now, cause you're sweeter than all of the honey, baby, yeah, in the state of Massachusetts, so, well, I get so tied up inside, every time I see your face, cause you're my girl, you're my hey now, child, baby. Hey, yeah. Hey now, child. Ooh, oh, 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 yeah.
You're my girl.
Pete Pigeon,
you're my girl. And this is off of the...
I'm not your girl.
You're not my girl. It's the EP.
He is, though. He is.
The record.
This is off of the full length called Doubt Is For Losers.
Doubt Is For Losers. Gotcha. Yeah. Sweet, man.
Because it
is. So, Giggle, for those of you not in the studio, it sounds like there's a ton of energy coming off of that.
What do you mean?
Talk about how it is in the studio. Like, tell me what it feels like to hear that live in the studio, because I'm hearing it through a phone, over the internet, all digital. Tell me what it's like in the studio.
Well, you know, here, it's funny you say studio because you think studio, but this really is a studio because it's a studio apartment. We're in Pete's apartment. He's sitting on a futon. Yeah, right. I'll give a little description. It's a little tan. It's good though. It's a good space for a studio apartment. I'd say maybe
All right, so tell me what you do to his apartment.
What's that? Just start going through drawers
what did you
and
do
tell
to
him.
His apartment?
What did you say?
What did you do to his apartment?
Is it it's littered with wires. There's just wires everywhere.
It's a high tech operation, man.
It's a high tech operation. It's not too bad. It's He's got some crystals. He's got some Grammy invitations around here. He's got a sink full of dishes.
Oh, yeah.
This guy hasn't done his dishes.
Before, yeah.
A lot of receipts. I think he's getting ready for tax season.
Write that stuff off. And then, yeah, I got an extension from last year. I still got to figure that out.
You and me both. You and me both.
You're right.
I'm not ready yet.
Oh, boy.
I could use the return. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
And then, you know, it's
past
a... It's
April, guys. Well past April.
It's a bachelor's pad. So, a little bit of Christmas lights. A little bit of, like, tie-dye here and there. A little
right.
bit of... It's nice. It's nice.
Thanks, you know, man.
He's in a real... It's an interesting neighborhood because you turn off of Sheridan and then you see Lakeside, which is this old school amusement park.
Right.
Which looks like something out of Tom Hanks and Big.
Yeah, shout out to Rush, by the way. They have a song called Lakeside Park.
Oh, yeah? Are they talking about
Lakeside
this?
Lakeside Park, never do the dream. I don't remember all the words, but, you know, it's from somewhere in Canada.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. But, yeah, it's a pretty old school amusement park. So we're in a pretty... pretty cool neighborhood. It's a little
got a little farm out back.
Getting nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah, that.
How did that happen?
That album had some other big names on it. David LaBriere. He was the bass player for John Mayer, and he played bass on the track. Steve Brewster. He played with Jewel and Willie Nelson. And I did it down at Sony Studios in Nashville, Sony Tree Studios. And I also had a video behind it for the track Will, which is the one you were mentioning earlier. And so I had a lot of attention behind it. And, excuse me, one of the people on the Recording Academy submitted us to be looked at for a Grammy nomination. And we made it to the top 100. There are roughly, I don't know, 80, 90,000 submissions that come in. They whittle that down to... I don't know, maybe a few thousand after that. And then they whittle it down again to like the top 100, 200, depending on the category. And we made it to that. We didn't make it to the last level, which is the top five. The top five are what get on the TV show.
Gotcha. And what was the category? Sorry.
There were five of them. There was music video, song of the year, record of the year, male performance, and... I don't remember the rock song.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it was pretty awesome. I got to go. I brought the model from the video.
Oh, nice.
Pretty
nice.
Awesome. Some pictures on the internet on there. I did it right, man.
Yeah. And so you were at the Grammys.
Yeah.
You were there.
Right.
And were you like, is this kind of just, was it surreal? Were you like, oh,
sure.
it's just more like, cause every time I see an award show and I get, there's some that are like, all right, real deal. But like, it seems like, oh, it's another award show. It's another award show. It's like the People's Choice. It's the Golden Globes. It's like, I mean, you were probably just like flabbergasted. You're
it's
there. Pretty
intense, sure. But I mean, I met Paul Schaefer and Brian Wilson, Keith Urban. Who else did I meet? What's his wife? The red hair.
Faith Hill.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
All right.
I walked up with Paris Hilton, which was a super trip. We just happened to get to the carpet at the same time, and she didn't have a date. So I just walked up to her and started talking to her, and we walked up, you know, and she was said she was cold. I was like, you're not wearing any clothing, you know? Maybe if you had, like, something on, it wouldn't be so cold. But she was super nice, extremely friendly, and very tall.
Yeah.
Didn't know she was so tall. She's like 6'2 or something. The heels probably helped, but...
Now, did you focus any on a little glad handing? Were you schmoozing?
Or no,
was your schmooze game a little
too
off?
Too intense for that.
Too intense,
definitely
yeah.
off. It's more like... Let's make sure every word that comes out of my mouth is the right word.
Right.
And I'm not stuttering.
And I'm stupid.
Or, yes, exactly. Yes, completely. It was, hello, hi.
Don't be stupid.
How are you? Not, this is the thing. I'm at the, you know?
That'd be pretty good. You start slapping yourself in the head.
Exactly.
You know, like.
The best awards story so far that I've heard is the Trey Parker and Matt Stone going to the Oscars just tripping on acid.
I didn't know they were tripping.
And then they talk about it because they were
also wearing dresses.
They were wearing dresses.
I remember that.
It's just nuts, you know.
Yeah, I remember that on MTV. I think they showed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
that's crazy. But you weren't on acid.
I wasn't on acid, and I wasn't wearing a dress.
Grammy, one of the high points of your musical career.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was. I think number one was playing with Levon Helm. I can't put that
that's amazing.
Anywhere else than
was that when
one.
You were living upstate?
It was, yeah. He did a show in New Paltz. Apple Pickers Union, I think, was the band. He was sitting in with them. And I went up to him. I had just started working on my record. And there were three tunes that were perfect for him. You can actually see a painting of...
well, it's a radio
Leah.
Show, Pete.
I know.
It's a radio show.
It's a radio show. My friend Leah painted that. So it's a. I'll describe
Leo,
it for you.
I want to get this question out of the way.
Oh, you got it out of the way, all right. You cut
out.
You
got out of the way. You cut out. Try again.
You still not with us.
Dave.
Do I know who... Still not with us.
I believe in you, Dave.
You can do it.
You can do it, Dave. Try again. Try.
Let's move on.
You're back.
So what was your question?
All right. My question was this. Before we move on, and now we're all interrupted, so I just kind of stopped this to a halt. But my quick question was, does Giggles know who Levon Helms is?
Singular, Levon Helm, yeah.
He was in the band.
Very nice.
Drove down the net. Wait, no, that's Creedence.
Drove Old Dixie Down. You're right.
Wait.
The night they drove Old Dixie Down. That's tune. Right.
Yeah.
That's him.
Sure.
See, I knew
right,
this
go
question.
On with your story. I didn't mean to stop this.
See, I knew this question was going to come up because Dave likes to make fun of me because I don't really know music.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't follow, I don't get into it. Like, Dave's a big, you know, deadhead, fishhead, whatever, you know.
Sure.
He's into all that stuff. And, you know, I like music. I'm like, oh, that's a cool song. I might buy a record or go see a show. But I don't delve in. It's not my life. You know, it's not my, like, it's not my passion.
Right.
You know, so I'm like, you know, I like.
But
I
you're
like,
a good radio guy. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Know. Yeah. But when you guys start name dropping bands and, you know.
That's why you sent Mike here, because he does, like, the whole radio guy operation. And then you're just there for the wisdom.
Yeah.
He's the radio guy.
Right. You're the brains and he's the looks, you know.
Exactly. He's the musical theater guy.
He's totally. So you don't even know what Dave looks like. See, a lot of times
maybe
Dave.
Maybe it's for the best. Who
yeah,
knows?
Maybe it is. So.
So talk about Levon Helms playing with Levon. That's amazing.
Oh right. So anyway, I went up to him at the show and said, "Hey, you know, I got these tracks. I would love for you to be on the record." And he put me in touch with his manager at the time, and so I stayed in touch with his manager for almost 2 years to try and make it work. And finally, the stars aligned. We were able to make it happen. Drove him out from Woodstock to Boston, where I was recording. It's a place called, wasn't Q Division, it was Camp Street Studios. We also recorded at Q Division. And there was another one, too, in Acton is where it was. Anyway, so he drove out to Acton and showed up, true gentleman, amazing person to work with, all business, very, very professional. Sat down on the kit and knocked out the three tunes. And afterwards, I said, all right, we're good. And he said, well, I thought you were paying me for the whole record. And I was like, well, I only had four songs, so here's the check. You know, because I thought I was just hiring him for those three. And so anyway, real true gentleman and spent a little time with the band and talked with us and just kind of brought us into his whole.
Did he want to play on the other songs?
He did, yeah.
Oh, he did.
It was so frustrating. But the thing is that those songs aren't like appropriate for his playing.
Gotcha.
There was like a reggae tune. There was a jazz song. There were like two jam band tunes.
Gotcha.
And if I had known in advance that he was going to do the whole record, I probably would have restructured the record a little bit, or at least brought in some other tunes and did a whole day of sessions with him and finished the other ones later.
Right.
So it was sort of a buzzkill. It was like, oh, man, I could have had the whole record with him, and I didn't even know, you know? But I'm very fortunate to get those three, and then one of them wasn't released on that record. It'll be on the record I'm working on now called All the Little Things.
Okay.
And that should be out in the fall.
Nice. So tell us a little bit about your show. You played, was it the... The Bluebird last week.
Yes.
Which is a popular Denver music venue.
Yeah.
Haven't been there. But so tell us about the shows that you got last week and the ones coming up this week. Saturday is the Fox. Am
yes,
I right?
Sir. That's
okay,
it.
So I'm saying the Fox like I know where it is and I know but Denver's got these music videos.
Back to what Dave was saying.
Yeah, right. they've got these music venues that are like kind of, you know it, like the Ogden, or right, you know, it's great to play. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Bluebird was 72 hours ago. That was on, not even, 36 hours ago. That was on Saturday night. And this great local band called Atomga were doing their, excuse me, their CD release party. Just came out with a new record, and they had us on for support. And Bluebird was voted, I think, the number one small venue in the country recently. It's a beautiful theater, great sound. And Dirty Bourbon River Show was up here from New Orleans. They were also on the bill. And Human Agency, they're like a DJ band. And so we all got in there. It was a great night. They drew over 500 people. Sellout's 550, so we're super close.
Yeah.
But the response was great, and everyone was just having a great time. So, yeah, that was last Saturday. And then this coming Saturday, June 13th, we're headlining the Fox Theater in Boulder, sort of the Bluebird equivalent to Boulder. Amazing theater. I was there in 2000 working for the Slip as their lighting director. We did a whole national tour.
Okay.
And I still remember that. It was probably the best show on the run. And I always wanted to get back in there. So it's really a dream come true to be able to play there, much less headlining.
Yeah.
We're co-headlining with the Way Down Wanderers, a great group from Chicago, bluegrass band. They just came out with a new record. So they're going to have that there. And then Mama Magnolia, an R&B band from Boulder, led by Megan Letts. And Zach Jackson plays bass in there. He's a good friend of mine.
Jeez.
And yeah, it's going to be a great night.
So you, from what I gather from you is like you're really into the music scene, and like you know local bands and bands like you're at this level where like you know you call somebody up and be like, hey, come play my record or come play this show with me. Like you guys are like a tight. I guess that's kind of my point that I'm trying to make about the music industry now is like you guys have to play shows.
Sure, right.
You guys are releasing albums, but it's like you're not making your bread and butter on your albums.
Right.
You're making it by playing shows and touring. And God, I looked at the Shift's tour dates, and they were just going, and we were talking in the van, and they were just going everywhere.
They're doing like 3 national tours this year.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
They're nuts.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, they're not married, and they don't have kids, so they can do that. You know? And
sure.
I got a little jealous. I got a little like, and Dave can tell you, I had a pretty superb man crush on John Shannon.
I think most people do, yeah.
Because he came into our radio show, and he talked about, like, he did this training session with John Brown, the tracker, you know, by, the guy where he, like, looks at the way of,
He was in Central Australia or something like that.
He's everywhere, you know. Right. Vision quests and, you know, just one of those guys that just, like, want to be like you.
He's a next level dude.
He's next level. You know, he's just on another plane. So
seriously.
Definitely man crush. We get a lot of man crushes on our show.
That's why I'm here, right?
Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
Totally. So tell us. Well, all right, so you got the show coming up at the Fox in Boulder.
Right.
And Boulder's a cool place to do shows.
Yep.
I mean, it's full of young people and hippies. And it's kind of like, and when I was listening to the record, it's all over the place. Like there's some folk stuff, there's some rock stuff. There was like a little bit of a reggae thing.
Right.
You're all over the map.
Totally.
And you know, can I ask you why you're casting this wide musical net? Is it 'cause you can do it, or you just don't like you're not fitting into a certain type of genre, right?
It's completely unintentional.
Yeah.
Whatever music decides to flow through me that afternoon, I jot it down and that's what happens.
Yeah.
I don't have any sort of direction when I write. Like Growing Pains, for example, that first tune I played, it's not really classifiable. I mean, it is. It's a songwriting song. It's pretty straight, but it has this finger-picking, like, Bob Dylan-ish thing, and it's got this more modern sort of vibe to it. You're My Girl is sort of more like, I wanted to write an R&B song.
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen that way, but You're My Girl is like a version of me sitting down and saying, all right, I need to write some R&B. I don't have that tune yet, you know? But for the most part, you know, like if I wrote Come to Me, which is the reggae tune you might have been talking about, you know, I just wrote it. Seemed like that was what I was doing that day, and that's how it went.
Do you, now, in your bio, like people are like, oh, it's like Jeff Buckley and this and that. Do you appreciate when somebody's kind of like pegs you as like a Dylan-esque or, you know, some, you know, I'm drawing a blank on other music artists, but like, do you like that, or do you kind of want to have your own thing? You're like, don't peg me as, because some of your stuff is a little bit like musical. It's like, I was like, this guy could write a musical. He's
right,
like,
right.
You know, some of these riffs and things like that. Like,
there's a tune called What, which is on Doubt Is for Losers, which is fully orchestrated, and it is a musical piece. Like,
yeah.
It's a theater piece.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It changes things every two bars, and, you know, it's all over the map. It barely repeats itself, except for a little solo section, which goes back to the verse. As far as being pegged certain stylistically or whatever, it doesn't bother me at all. I think it's probably easier for me to deal with because I have so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
That there's some that come back around, like Jeff Buckley. I have a high range, a very broad range. And also my guitar chords are pretty weird. And Jeff was an amazing guitar player, which is underrated. Not a lot of people realize that, but his guitar playing was as good as his singing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if somebody says, oh, you sound like this guy, that's fine. I sound like that guy, you know. I think my music is diverse enough that I don't really have to worry about getting pegged as one certain style.
Gotcha.
And the other thing is Jeff was completely all over the map, too. He would play punk songs. He would play a French folk tune in French. He would sing Pakistani songs in Pakistani, Urdu or whatever the language is. And then he would write these really intricate tunes. So saying, you know, I sound like Jeff Buckley is sort of like you sound broad, you know, because he sounded broad. So
right.
It's less classifiable than something like Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters play rock music.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a pretty narrow genre, you know. So, yeah, I don't have no problem with it at all.
Nice. Well, Dave Grohl seems to be kind of like the... he's like the hero of the internet right now with stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, the guy, I don't know if you've seen the viral video, the guy fighting in the show, and he like stops the show. He's
right.
Like,
you
get the fuck out of here. Don't you fight my show. We
right.
came here to rock. And you're
totally.
Like, yes. And then he did that.
He's brilliant.
He just seems like the right kind of guy for the scene right
yeah.
now. You know, like.
Well, he's inspirational. He's doing everything that he's dreamed of. I mean, he's played with Led Zeppelin. He's played with Paul McCartney. And, like, it doesn't matter. At this point, he's done everything you can possibly do, you know, selling out Wembley two nights, you know. So now he's sort of in that creative realm where he's like, all right, well, what else can I do here? And he made that film about going to, was it New Orleans, or where he's traveling around the country.
Dave, you know this. What's the name of that, the series?
Has Dave been missing us the whole time? Did he fall asleep?
He is 2 hours ahead of us. Dave, you still there? He's gone.
Ugh.
He's gone. It's just you and me, Pete.
All right, bro.
It's all right. It's
miss like, you, Dave.
Sorry, Dave. It's like when Wayne leaves Garth, and Garth is just sitting there, and he's like...
He's probably still talking right now and thinks that we can hear him.
Right.
So he's like asking questions. We're just ignoring him.
Jeez. Probably. Well, it's a change, because usually he's not the one that listens.
Okay. So anyway, he's just following his dream now. He's doing all these different projects, and he also did that documentary on the studio in L.A. that he used to record at, and brought all these famous people in and had these interviews and stuff. So he's just thinking more outside the box, more broad scope than just album show.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, well, let's make some documentaries. Let's do some film stuff. You know, let's do some historical things, like... And having the freedom and flexibility of doing that is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, he may still be on a major label. I don't know. But if you have that much money and you're independent and the record label isn't telling you what to do, you can do anything. You can be as creative as you want. That's probably going to help the musicality of the music industry, but it makes it extremely difficult to fund your records when you don't have, you know, the proper funds to make it happen. So...
Getting bankrolled by the studio.
Exactly, right.
So I do want to get into a song, and then after that song I want to talk about Now Power. We keep,
right.
pushing it back.
Sure.
But I want you to play something that you want to pick. So this is, you know, whatever's on your sort
sure,
of
man.
Roster here.
Well, I'll give you a little taste of the bluegrass style. We've done songwriting, we've done R&B, and this is more like a bluegrass type of thing. It's called On the Road.
Like it.
Leave it. in high rises. I'm ready for surprises. I'm wearing no disguises. I'm on my own. I got temptations and no limitations. No weight of expectations holding me back home. Whoa, 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 whoa. Well, I got penny loafers in a box of stofers. Four-leaf clover by an Akron riverside. Don't know what state I'm in or which one I've been. Look out, here I come again, riding on the rails. Whoa, 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 whoa. All right, now. Well, I got dream makers, and I got risk takers, and I got Chet Baker on the stereo. Well, I got no sense of time, and I ain't got a dime, but you'll never see me crying on the open road. Whoa, whoa, oh, 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 whoa.
Sorry, there it is. On the road, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there it is. Dave, are you still there? Or are you gone?
Bummer.
you could barely hear him.
Bye, Dave.
Dave.
Oh, he's in there?
Hey, buddy.
There he is.
Welcome back.
Hey, I've always been here. You just can't hear me.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're back. Yeah. Welcome back.
You're back. Thanks, man.
Did you get to hear that tune?
Apparently, I'm back. I invited Joe in on this. I don't know if he's coming or not, but we might have our number one fan joining us soon.
Oh, awesome.
Jailhouse Joe. This guy,
Joe.
Jailhouse Joe, he moved out to L.A. from New York, and it's just Dave in the apartment now. It used to be Joe and Dave, and Joe moved out, left the stuff, and Dave's got it.
This is what's bumping.
Back the curtain.
I kept hearing this while I was playing. I couldn't figure it out. It's the necklace here.
Bro, you got some, like, trinkets. You're kind of like a you're a little Shannon-esque here with the bandana around the wrist and the little trinkets here and there and the crystals.
Shannon-esque. Yeah, that's
I mean, that guy, homeboy rocks like the leather vest.
Oh, yeah, he gets it done, man.
Yeah.
You can't front with him, man.
No. He's real deal.
Right.
So.
Yeah, the leather, I can't front the leather vest, man.
No. Well, you were rocking like an old school leather coat.
That's
tonight.
Right. I did have that beige.
Beige, yeah. It was super
vinyl.
Beige.
It's a vinyl coat.
Yeah.
That was legitimate.
That was real deal. We were talking to my cousin and my uncle, we went to that show, you know, and we were talking about Globeville.
Oh, yeah.
And what a weird area.
Globeville is probably the weirdest neighborhood of Denver.
So for those of you who don't know, and excuse me, Dave at home, Globeville is intersected by the two highways.
Right.
So it's got, you know, four corners are on every side of the highway. There's really no public transportation. It's kind of – it's old school. It's like, you know, a lot of the homes are from the 1900s.
It looks like Detroit.
Yeah.
It's all warehouse district, rundown homes. Like, the bar was – it looked like a home almost. It was in between two houses, like residential houses. It was really bizarre.
Denver is a weird area because, like, you'll go and you'll be in one section of town and you'll just, like, cross the street and you'll be like, oh –
Right.
The income gap is just huge here.
Brooklyn was like that, too.
Yeah.
You could go one block and have a completely different style of living. But just to get from the Highlands, which was like the hipster area, just over to Globesville is very close. It's like an eighth of a mile or something, you know?
Yeah.
It's completely different.
It's nuts. It's nuts. That's what happens when the highway intersects, you know, a town. So let's talk a little bit about Now Power Productions.
Oh, yeah, right.
So what is this? Because I'm looking at your website. I'm like, all right, where do I find Pete's music? And then there's Now Power, and then there's
right.
So you got your fingers in a lot of pots.
Tell us
about Now Power.
Now Power is my production company. So if I'm producing somebody's record, or if I'm doing session work, or overdubs, anything of that sort, it sort of falls into the Now Power Productions category.
Okay.
It's just an umbrella for working with other folks.
Now, when you say producing somebody's record, somebody's like, listen, Pete, I want to do a record, produce it, you get the money, you make it happen.
Right.
Can you hear me?
Well, I do the I get paid for it. If that's
yeah.
What you
right.
Mean.
Right. Right.
I get the money. Yeah. Right.
But when I hear producer, I'm always right. Like the guy who's Dave. What are you doing over there, bro? He's doing something. You are hosing us.
Stop playing with your phone.
Stop playing with the phone. Get Joe off. Tell Joe we don't need any more people via bad internet.
Oh, shit.
So you're producing. So you,
you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you, Dave.
Oh, well, look at that. I'm back in it.
Okay, good.
It's the giggle show.
Every single show. Every single. I'd say my dream is to be able to like have a band come in. Press on, and you're ready to
just
go.
Have it seamless.
Have it seamless. Right. But look at your place. There's wires
everywhere. It's part of the show, man. It's part of the aesthetic. It's part of the vibe.
It's giggle-esque.
Last one was in a tour van with way too many people.
Wow, they're
like
just
3
bashing
in the morning.
You. What is happening?
They can't even barely hear me.
Bashing you.
I know.
Why don't you just hang up?
I know. I really should.
We'll have our own show. Show.
Just like another
party. There's a whole
on.
Other show.
Completely going.
All right, so this party line. We got to focus on this party line.
It's the party line.
So let's check in with Joe a little bit.
Hey,
Joe,
I'm Pete.
Yeah, I'm bringing Rath in on this. Hold on.
It's getting out of control real fast.
Yeah.
And we can't see anybody.
Right.
All right, so Joe, I got a question on you. Joe, are you there? He can hear us. So Joe, I'm looking on Facebook. Joe is a photographer, a filmmaker. He moved out to LA and started doing some volunteer work. So I hear down in Mexico with the people trying to get across the border, sort of like people in limbo.
Okay.
And the guy was taking photos, and they look good. Joe, you there? Dave, I can't hear him. I can't see. This is why you shouldn't add more people.
He wasn't talking.
Well, God, listen, it's hard enough to hear
you. You're doing fine, man. You're doing fine. You're doing fine.
So tell us.
Keep going. I'm here.
Tell us about this project a little bit. Did we finish the Now Power? We'll get back to it.
Yeah, I'm not important.
Sorry, he's not the guest. I didn't drive over to his house. So so tell us, Joe, tell us a little bit about L.A. and what's going on out there for you and this volunteer work you're doing.
Sure, yeah. Well, I'll talk just about the volunteer work and then maybe a little bit about it. It's two different questions. The volunteer work was something that just kind of happened, kind of fell into my lap. It was just one step after the other. Like I met a friend through another friend who was doing some work down in Tijuana, and I started doing some work out in LA working with Dave Eggers's a nonprofit called A26 LA, where they do after school tutoring and they work with children here. And so I'd wanted to do volunteer work for a while, and out here just seemed like a good opportunity because it just kind of came to me in a way. So my friend who's a filmmaker was going down to Tijuana, and he was working with this foundation, NPO called Fundación Gaia. And they were just always looking for volunteer members. So I just kind of went down without any expectations. I didn't know what I was going to get into. And they focus on the homeless situation down there, and what you saw in the photos, and they work with orphanages, right? And I can talk more if you want, but that's kind of the short of it.
Gotcha. All right. Nice. Well, listen, what my point was is I was seeing these photos that you were posting, and it looked good. Like, stuff looked good, and, like, I'm seeing photos of you,
and you
look happy. I see a picture of you smiling, and it's like, it's nice to see you happy. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I am happy.
Good. Oh,
thank you, man. I appreciate it.
I'm happy you're happy. I see this. So I'm glad.
I really appreciate that, man. I mean, L.A. has been an unexpected journey into some great things for me out here. The people that I've been meeting, the things that I've been doing, and I've gotten healthy. I've gotten, you know, just done a lot of things that I don't know if I ever would have found my way to what I'm doing out here, out in New York, you know? But I hope to continue doing stuff like this more in other places, that I travel to.
But yeah, thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
Hey, no worries, man. It seems like the consensus, and you know, and I was so like my happiness level, my stress level decreased when I like left New York. It was such a like I was so worried about leaving New York. I was like, oh, will I find this again? And I left, and I'm living in straight up suburbs, but like I love it. Like I got space and
New York is the most stressful place in the country, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Because not only is it stressful around you and everyone around you is stressed out and making you more stressed out, but it's so impossible to make a living there and survive and make enough rent for the next day that stress alone would destroy anybody's brain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's nice to be somewhere where you
can... Yeah, I don't know. For me, it's a different type of stress, you know? I mean, there... You're definitely not as like... I feel... I mean, I don't know. Maybe... It feels like when you're in New York, you're kind of just like part of a current, and you're just constantly in this,
right?
This current, this whirlpool, you know. And here, I mean, it's so big, you kind of have like no choice but to kind of find your own way and find your own path.
Yep. Just joined. Look at this guy.
Who's on?
Andy Scrap.
We got Scrap.
Oh, buddy.
We got Scrap.
You gotta turn your microphone on there, buddy.
You're on mute.
It's a lot better when you have the laptops and you can see people who are joining in. Because
right.
Now we, you know, you don't. I know these guys. I know who, you know. But Pete has no idea. Is he there? All right. So Pete, finish up about Now Power. You're producing. It's your other side of things.
Right.
Sorry, I'm trying to keep things moving along here.
Because
these guys are just joking.
No worries.
You know.
Yeah, I've produced a couple albums for other people. Michelle Cruz, her album Recovery. There's Daniel Cohen. He was a New York City village folk guitar player. And Adam Luasis, he had a band called Von Renzo. I wrote and produced a few tunes for Jessica Betts. She was on Epic Records for a little while under Missy Elliott. She's all over MTV right now. Great artist, incredibly talented. I learned probably more from watching her than the session itself.
Yeah.
Just about how to get better vibrato and how to sing softer on the mic in the studio, and like just a brilliant artist. So all these other things I do, or if I'm getting called to come in and play guitar in a session, for example, all these things sort of fall under the Now Power Productions umbrella.
Nice.
I also wrote a book called Hampton 98.
So this is about, Dave was telling me about this, because it's about fish.
Right.
So you followed fish around for a while. You wrote a book.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, from 94 to 98, I was on the road with them pretty seriously, just going to a bunch of shows.
How do you make money? Were you just selling stuff? Like,
I would just work during, I'd paint houses during the summer and then save my money and then just go out. And
thousands of people do this.
Oh, yeah, right. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, back in the day, the tickets were $25-$30. So it's not like $80 now, you know, it would be completely impossible. Not for some people, but for me, you know. excuse me. I did that like sweet spot of Fish's career from 94 to 98, where they were just really on top of their game. And there were a whole bunch of crazy stories that happened from being on the road for that many times.
Yeah.
And the Hampton shows in November of 1998 were a particularly intense story, where I was awake for, I don't remember, some like 75 hours straight. We had to sleep in our car. We had tried to stay awake in a hotel lobby. I went to the hospital. The car broke down and just other things that I shouldn't be talking about on a microphone. but you can read about it in the book.
Yeah. Don't give all the spoilers away.
Exactly, right. And anyway, so it's about 80,000 words long. It took 16 years to finish. I didn't realize
that.
That's
up and running.
Yeah. I didn't realize how difficult writing a book and editing a book is.
Yeah.
I wrote the book in like a matter of weeks.
Right.
Editing the book took like 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly thorough process. Not only just grammar correction, but like rewriting and strumming it and streamlining everything and breaking it down. It's going to be out in full in September when Fish comes and does their Dick's Sporting Goods shows here.
in September. And it's out now. It was a soft release. And it's basically out, but trying to get a whole big release push for this fall.
All right, right on, right. Well, I mean, I don't think a lot of people write books about fish, or it seems it's not, you know.
Yeah, there aren't too many out there.
I've been to a couple fish shows. Dave loves them, but I mean, they're all right. Like, I didn't get into that whole scene. Like, it wasn't like the jam band scene. I had a little bit of couple years. All right, I'm cutting these guys off. I had a couple years of it, but like, you know, it's not really my style. But like, I see how people just got into it.
Right, right.
You know, it was like.
Well, it's a lifestyle kind of thing. It's an escape from whatever BS you're dealing with back home, you know. And if life is kind of crappy, well, you go on the road for 6 weeks and it's just awesome every single day. You know? You have a concert, a 3-hour concert every night, and you're traveling across the country and sleeping in tents and seeing the national parks. And
yeah.
I mean, it's awesome, but it's expensive, but
yeah.
It's awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I do want to... We're going to close out because we're getting about that time.
Cool.
This is a school night. Dave, do you have anything?
Good work, Eagles.
Yeah, thanks. While your mic is still hot, do you have anything you'd like to add or ask before we wrap this up with the last song?
Thank you for coming on the show. I mean, you really couldn't hear me at all, but, you know, we do what we got to do.
I can hear you just fine. I just ignored you the whole time. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it was kind of hard to hear you, and that's unfortunate, but... thank you so much for having me, man. This has been great, and I appreciate you helping us out, getting the word out about Pete Pigeon and Narcota.
All right, Dave, I'm gonna cut you out, and then we're gonna it was a good show. We're gonna close out with Pete. Yeah, it's a lot better when he's. It's a lot better when Dave and I are in the same room together.
Sure.
But we're still trying to.
Everybody, Rath.
Good night, Rath.
No, Rath is on the line.
Say hi. Who's that, Mike? There he is.
What's up, Andy? What's going on?
What's up? What are you doing?
I'm just hanging. What are you doing?
No, they got me in here. Called me up. Said that I was going to be on the radio.
Let me. I got $5 that says you're shirtless.
He's almost shirtless.
Almost shirtless. That's good enough. Well, Raph.
It's happening.
Oh, now we're
there it is.
This is why we don't need the video.
This is why you don't need the video.
Where's Rose? Where's Rose? Join the party. You join the party.
This has now become an official chat line.
It's still it's party line. All right. Dave, Joe, Rath, and Rose, we're going to let you go. We're going to have a...
Pete, thank you for coming on. We'll do a real show one day.
Yeah, sounds good, Dave.
Screw everything up.
This is a real show.
Like I said, next time I'm in New York, I'll hit you up. We'll figure it out.
Do it.
All right. Good show, Dave.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Good show.
All right. So, Pete, it's just you and me.
Okay.
We've got those guys off because they were you need the real thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he didn't end the phone call. All right, so let's close this out.
Okay.
I do want to thank you for coming on our show.
Yeah, man, thanks.
And
for
invite me
you.
Into your humble abode.
Sure.
I noticed you have a Murphy bed.
I do.
That's
yeah,
so New York, bro.
Pretty awesome, man.
That's pretty New York.
It hasn't been up since I moved in, as it hasn't needed to be, but I think it will soon. I'm gonna have a rehearsal in here.
Okay.
And that's where the drum set will go. So make that happen. I was thinking that when I was singing "You're My Girl" because there's a line that says. I've got a big bed, but the whole thing, I don't use it, and I'm looking at my own bed, which is about that, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Anything else you'd like to say before we close out with the song?
Just for anybody else who's up in Colorado, we're going to be in Fort Collins June 27th at the Colorado Brewers Festival.
Oh, nice.
Which is a big deal. It's like 20,000 people and 3,000 in front of the stage, so we're pretty stoked about that. And then I think we're doing Avogadro's Number in Fort Collins in September. Still trying to get that 100%, but it looks like September 18th, maybe something like that. Bunch of mountain gigs.
Yeah. As you do, it's Colorado.
Yeah, right.
And it's PetePigeon.com.
Yes.
So PIDGEON.
Boom.
.com.
Well done.
PetePigeon.com, and you can
That's
find
right.
out all about Now Power. You can find out all about his music, Arcota.
Yep.
Tour dates,
yep.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and cool. The Facebook page is / Pete Pigeon also.
Okay, so if you got something on your mind that you'd like to play, but sometimes it's been our sort of our what do you call it, tradition as the last song to maybe do a cover.
Oh, wow.
Do you have a cover that's, I'm putting you on the spot. You don't have to.
Yeah, I could, yeah, let me give it a shot. We can always edit it out, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, cool.
I mean, this is a lot, you know.
Yeah, I can do a cover here.
It's not Landslide by
No, it's no, that one was taken last week, probably. No, this is Girl from the North Country by Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Which is one of the reasons I bought this instrument. It's a Gretsch Honey Dipper Dobro. And it just sounded, it was, whenever I was shopping for Dobros, this was the song that I would play on it. Because if it didn't sound good on that Dobro, then it wasn't going to happen. So yeah, let's do that, man. Fix this guy too.
Fix your necklace.
So it doesn't clank during the whole.
Yeah.
All right. If you're traveling in the North Country Fair, where the winds whip heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. And if you're traveling when the snowflakes form, rivers freeze and summer ends, see for me, she has a coat so warm. To keep her from the howling winds. See for me that her hair's hanging long. It rolls and flows all down her breast. See for me that her hair's hanging long. For that's the way I remember her best. Sometimes I wonder if she remembers me at all. Many times I've often prayed in the darkness of my night. In the brightness of my day, so if you're traveling in the North Country Fair, where the winds whip heavy on a borderline, remember me to one who lives there. For she once was a true love of mine. Yeah.